You can let the negativity of the world and the world in life and circumstances in general overtake you. Or you can let the positivity of the Word and the Lord and the Holy Spirit overtake you. But it's our choice what we focus on and what we let rule in our lives. We can look at the difficulties and we can sit in our studies and wallow in self-pity and look at the horrible things that have happened in the last week and the horrible things that are going to happen in the week to come. Or we can do what David did and encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we can worship and we can pray and we can meditate on scriptures and we can do all the things that we know we should be doing to lift ourselves up. But it's a personal choice. Amen. Hallelujah. So I've been spoken to already this morning. So thanks for sharing, guys. That was awesome. Wonderful. Carol, this message is for you and that lady. So I want to ask you a question. Do you ever come across people who just don't see it? Jesus and his mercy and his love and his grace. They just don't see it. You ever come across people like that? People that you can tell about Jesus and speak about all the amazing things that he's done for you, and they just don't hear you. Met people like that? People that just seem to not get it. You can preach your little heart out. You can teach your little heart out. That some folk look at you and you know they just don't understand. They just don't get it. Well, if you know people like that, this message is for you. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 28. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for our worship, and I thank you for the testimony of people. I thank you for the way you've spoken to us already through many of us. Thank you for the encouragement, the edification, and the exhortation we've already had. And I thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful truths in Scripture. Thank you for the access we have to it, the freedom we have to choose to get into your Scriptures. And I just thank you and praise you for them. Thank you for all the truths that's in there about Jesus and his finished work. Thank you that from page 1 to page whatever, right at the end, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus and his finished work and what he's done for us. The proclamation of what he's going to do and then the proof of what he's done. I thank you for your Scriptures. So as the word indicates us to do, I pray for ears to be open, hearts to be receptive, eyes to be open to see, for the seed to come into our hearts, to come deep into good ground. I pray for understanding for every single person that's listening to this word. Understanding so that the enemy can't come and steal away that precious word. And I speak out understanding and fruit that will come from that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts 28. I'm kind of carrying on from where I was 2 weeks ago. I dipped back into Ephesians 2 weeks ago. But spoke about New Covenant prayer at the same time. That's what it was 2 weeks ago. And I'm kind of sticking on that today. I'm looking at another wonderful passage that can help us to look at New Covenant prayer. A prayer that we can use, a prayer that we can mirror. You guys have heard me preach before. I don't like us mirroring old covenant prayers because that's not for us anymore. I'm into us mirroring New Covenant prayers. Because we live under grace, not under the law. We live under the new covenant, not the old covenant. So I'm doing another message on a a new Freudian slip there, a new covenant prayer, a model that we can use. Carl, a prayer that you need for your lady. Prayer is important. It's really important, guys. But a lot of the things we pray is wrong. A lot of things we pray in church is wrong. It's old covenant, not new covenant. So let's have a look at this passage that I want to teach from this morning. Acts 28, and we'll read from verse 23. And this is about Paul. He's in his house, his lodgings in Rome, and there's people coming to see him. That's the summary of where we're at. Verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. See, Paul used what we call the Old Testament to preach about Jesus. But Jesus didn't come at the start of the New Testament. It doesn't matter. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. If we look at the pictures and the types and the shadows, it's all about Jesus. Way before Nancy was doing it, Paul was preaching typology. He taught her everything. Hallelujah. So, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. That's a very important word. Their eyes have they closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Awesome. What a wonderful way to complete Acts. Doesn't say it's finished. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Awesome. Let me switch this thing on again. Here we see Paul's ministry while he's in Rome. Paul's in Rome here. But we don't know what happens after this. I wouldn't think this is the end of Paul's ministry, but we're not sure. But what we've got here is at the end of Acts, a description of what Paul does while he's in Rome. A wonderful description of preaching the kingdom and teaching about Jesus. Awesome. Like I said, I love the way it doesn't say, and here endeth the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Because you know what? That has never ended. Because that's what you are doing right now. Acts 1:1, it says, The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. I've preached on that before, but I didn't preach it along with this last verse of Acts. This is saying something has begun. Nay, word of it being finished. I think that's awesome. It started with Jesus, went to his disciples, the apostles, Paul, you. That's where it sits now. Wonderful. It's never finished. this preaching about the kingdom of God, teaching about Jesus, it's never finished. Could preach on that for hours, but what I want to tell you about today is the conditions that Paul was under. What has Paul got to go through? What's the people he's dealing with? What's he up against? I want to show you the problems he encountered. I want to show you his solution. And then I'll tell you that you are under exactly the same conditions today. And you can use the same solution. I'll show you what Paul says in here can be turned into a really good New Covenant prayer. It's going to be awesome. So what's happened to Paul? Here's a sort of wee summary. Paul arrives in Rome, and I'm not sure about this. I'm willing to be corrected, but not just now, after the service. I think he's under like a house arrest. Oh, well, I'll have that confirmation now then, that's okay. Okay, yeah. Yes, you're allowed to speak out if you're agreeing with me. Yes, hallelujah, that's, yeah, I love that. If you agree with me, speak it out. Disagree, keep it till the end of the service. I was kind of, the way I read it, he was under house arrest. He's in his own lodgings, he's found it and all that, but he's got to bide there. He's not like allowed to wander around like he does, you know, when he went to Ephesus and Corinth and places like that. We don't see him going out teaching in the synagogues. We see him in his house, and I think that's because he was under house arrest. He's just arrived. The Jewish leaders don't know much about him, no letters or anything, so they want to come and find out what he's about. So they arrange a day. They decide when they're going to come and see Paul, and then they come. And he tried to explain where he was coming from. Interesting that it says he had to try and explain about this sect. Because Christianity was still a sect back then. It was seen as a part of Judaism. Not a very good part either. Didn't like it. Verse 22 talks about that. It says, this is what they're saying, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect," this is interesting, "we know that everywhere it is spoken against." I've got that in here, yes. It was a sect that was spoken about, spoken against everywhere. There is nothing new in religious leaders speaking out against grace and truth. That's all Paul preached, the gospel. There's nothing new in this sect being spoken about everywhere. And Paul tries to explain about this sect. And I love what it says, how he does it. So they came, found him in his lodgings, to whom he expounded, and you like this, Mummels, and testified. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. He declared, he exhibited, he exposed the truth about Jesus. That's what the word expound means. That's what the Greek says. And he affirmed and he gave testimony on this. That's what the word testified means. So he set out, he explained all about Jesus and then told them what Jesus had done for him. That is the way that Paul went about it with these guys. He explained all about Jesus out of the scriptures and then said, and this is what this guy, well, he probably wouldn't have said that, would he? He would have said, this is what Jesus has done for me. There's a great model to follow, guys. Let me tell you about Jesus. This is what he's done for me. But that's not the model I want to preach on this morning. So Paul tells them all about Jesus out of the scriptures, and then says, and this is what he's done for me. This is what it's meant in my life. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. I spent a long time pondering that statement because it just sounded so obvious. Well, of course some are going to believe. Of course some are not going to believe. Why'd you put that in the scriptures? Why is that there? That's an obvious statement. I pondered on it and I prayed on it. I wonder, why is that in the Bible? It is saying because there are only two options that you can have with Jesus. There's no third sitting on the fence option. There is only two options with Jesus. This is a black and white issue. For or against. There can be no sitting on the fence with Jesus. If you are sitting on the fence with Jesus, you are against. That's what this scripture is clearly saying. It's saying you are a believer or you're not a believer. That verse clearly shows us there is no place for I'm not sure, I'm undecided, I'm an agnostic. See, the world today tells us there's loads of different attitudes to have about Jesus. You can be a believer, you can be an agnostic, you can be an atheist. No, you're a believer or you're not. You're a believer or you're not. Black and white, in, out, saint, sinner, goat, sheep. Faith in Jesus or no faith in Jesus. Being an agnostic, being not sure, that's nae going to help you in eternity. One question. What have you done with Jesus? And on that question, you're in or out. So that was the kind of revelation I had about that. The most important decision a man will ever make in his life, and I include you ladies as well, is in this man thing. The most important anyone can make, anyone in mankind, the most important decision they can make is what they do with Jesus. Because you know what? See, when we boldly approach the throne on the day of judgment, that is the one thing that God's going to be concerned about. What have you done with Jesus? That's all he's going to see. When you stand there, he is going to see Jesus. Or he's not going to see Jesus. I mean, I've gone on a little bit too much about that. Really important decision with eternal consequences. But here is the important point I want to get to today. I'm now getting to my teaching point today. What does Paul say about the ones who don't believe? Carol, this is for you. Directly. This, well, it's for everyone, but this should speak in to your experience. Paul tells us why they don't believe. This is really cool. Really cool. This. Paul tells us why they don't believe. Because their eyes were closed, because their ears were dull, and because their hearts had been waxed gross. They could not see, they could not hear, and they could not understand about Jesus and about the kingdom. And because of that, because they couldn't see, hear, and understand, because their eyes were closed, because their ears were dull, because their hearts had been waxed gross, because of that, they were not converted and not healed. This is really important. This is talking about salvation. Carol, you want that lady saved. That is your driver, isn't it? Because salvation is so important. Converted means to turn to bring back. It's talking about repentance or turning to God. And healed means to cure, to heal, to make whole. This to me is talking about initial salvation, i.e. ticket into heaven. But it's also talking about being healed and being made whole. That's what I call continued salvation. Guys, we can pray this prayer that I'm going to tell you about in a minute for non-believers and for believers. Well, what? Believers have their eyes closed to Jesus and his truth? And not hearing about Jesus and not understanding about Jesus? Dare I say the majority in the church have got their eyes closed, their ears shut, and their hearts waxed gross? Because the majority of people that I talk to about grace and Jesus just don't want to hear it. Nope, I'll be fine following the Ten Commandments. I'll be good. Oops, yeah, for a start, that's it. Jews couldn't do it, so you can't. Talking about initial salvation, the ticket into heaven, talking about continued salvation, moving into healing and wholeness and joy and peace, and the P word that people don't like, prosperity. Continued salvation. So this, we'll be able to pray this for believers, for unbelievers. Guys, dare I say this, and I'm speaking to myself here, you can pray it over yourself. Unless you're absolutely healed, absolutely prosperous, flowing in everything, absolutely perfect, there are parts of your life where you've got your eyes closed, your ears are dull, and your heart is waxed gross. And I'm exactly the same. So we can preach this, pray this over ourselves. See, Paul was preaching his heart out all day, and I bet you Paul was a good preacher. Made some good results. Yeah. He only converted most of the known world. You know. So he must have been pretty good. Pretty good preacher, pretty good teacher, good stuff all about Jesus. He'd have been talking about his love, his mercy, his goodness. He'd have been preaching about forgiveness. He'd have been preaching about reconciliation. He'd have been preaching about righteousness. All through Jesus. And then he spoke about testimony and testifying. And then he would have testified to them. He would have told them all about what Jesus had done for him. How Jesus had found him, had saved him, had healed him, had, I believed, raised him from the dead after he was stoned. Saved him from shipwrecks. Set him free from cities when people were after him. Released him from prison. Seen thousands upon thousands of people saved, healed, and set free. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't quite got a testimony like Paul yet. I doubt if you guys have. But Paul had an amazing testimony. And some believed, but some did not. Some just couldn't see it. They just couldn't see what Paul was saying. Some just couldn't hear. It was like going in one ear and out the other. Just not hearing what Paul is saying. Some of them just wouldn't have got it. Just wouldn't have understood. No concept at all about what Paul was talking about. Sound familiar? Get that today? It's what we encounter all the time. I've laid hands on people and seen them healed instantly. Told them about Jesus, and they just don't get it. But you were just healed 30 seconds ago. I've told you who did it. And they just don't get it. They don't see it. They don't seem to hear. Don't understand it. Why? Because they've got their eyes shut to the things of Jesus. They've got their ears closed to the things of Jesus. It's not even getting a chance to get into their heart. And if it does get through into their heart is just so hardened to the things of this world, and not being with Jesus that they just can't understand. I've spoken to believers. I didn't mean to do that. Obviously not talking about you guys. I've spoken to believers and I have expounded the scriptures verse after verse after verse about Jesus, that we've been forgiven, that we've been made righteous, that in his sight we're perfect. And it's like they've got their eyes squeezed shut and their fingers in their ears. Guys, we're experiencing exactly the same as what Paul experienced. Exactly the same. People have their eyes closed. That simply, the Greek simply means not looking. They're just not looking to Jesus. And the word says they have closed their eyes. That says to me we're talking about a personal choice here. I read this passage as it's themselves that have closed their eyes. They don't want to look to Jesus, don't want to look to the things of Jesus. I'm saying here that people either consciously or subconsciously have just turned off to Jesus. Now there is a verse you might be familiar with, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. And says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is a scripture that says the enemy blinds people as well. We're all aware of that. That's something we can pray into as well. You know, that the veil, or whatever you want to call it, is taken away, and that the blindness goes, and they can see the light of the glorious gospel. We can pray that. But in this case, in this instance, we're definitely looking at people who have chosen to close their eyes to the truths about Jesus. And it's sad to say, I'm talking about believers here as well. Born again believers, choosing themselves not to look to Jesus. Ears are dull of hearing. The Greek's interesting here. It does mean deaf. There is a meaning there that means deaf. But there's also a meaning, this is great, that talks of difficulty in learning or understanding when they hear. So it's not about complete deafness. It's not about people just not hearing. It's about them not understanding when they do hear. It's saying they can hear the words. They can hear what we're saying. They are getting the audible sensation in their brain. But they have difficulty understanding what that word means or what the sound is meaning. And hearts being waxed gross, well, that's just talking about your mind and your soul, the emotion part of you, your mind becoming calloused and hard to the things of God. We've got teaching on it, 9 lessons on how to soften your heart. When did we do that? Was that at the start of the year? Yeah. Hearts are waxed and gross. That's talking about your mind just being, if I remember rightly, it's like moved away from God. It's been hardened and you just move away from God. So what you need to do is soften your heart and turn towards God. Turn towards Jesus. So what's Paul saying here? What's a summary? Paul is saying, let me read this out. People do not believe because they have shut their eyes to Jesus, are having difficulty grasping things of him, and cannot or will not understand the truth about him and the kingdom. And that is stopping them being converted and healed. For some people, it's sending them to an eternity that we don't want to talk about. That's how grave this situation is. Believers are fine, they've got their ticket into heaven. They've got their eternity with the Lord. But this talking about this converted, this healed, this is talking about having a pig of a life on earth. This has got consequences. But this is Paul just saying what's happened, Vic. What on earth has this got to do with a new covenant prayer? Well, folks, if you know what the problem is, you can pray into the solution. If you know what the negative is, you can pray and speak out the positive. This is not rocket science. If people have got their eyes closed, what do we pray? That they open them. Well done! See? It's easy. This is an easy prayer, guys. Eyes closed, ears dull, hearts wax gross. Pray against that. Speak things into people's lives against that. Speak out that their eyes are opened. Speak out that they get the urge to find out more about Jesus. Speak out that they will listen and that they will attempt to understand. Speak out that they will be encouraged to soften their hearts. That is a longer process, by the way, than opening your eyes and opening your ears. That kind of can be overnight. But this softening their heart, that's a longer process. So if you're praying this over someone and it doesn't happen immediately, then I stop. Press in and press on. Speak out that you'll be encouraged to soften their hearts, to get into the Word, to be led to spend time with the Lord, to help that process of softening. And then, see, there's an add-on to this prayer. Then we do what Paul does. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So you don't pray this prayer and then sit back and wait for God to do anything else. You've still got to preach the kingdom, and you've still got to teach about Jesus. But, there's a big but here. Who to? Now, I'm still in a quandary about this, so I'm not sure how this is going to come across. I'm still unsure about this, I'm working my way through this. It's quite a big paradox for me. But who does Paul preach the gospel to, preach the kingdom, and teach about Jesus in this context? It is people who came to him. He sat in his house. He didn't go out. See the paradox? I'm still working my way through that. But in this instance, in this context, for the people that Paul has recognized have had their eyes closed and their ears dull and their hearts wax gross, he's waited for them to come to him. Now, the bright ones among you, because I'm bright and I thought of this, would say, but that's because he was under house arrest. Did anybody think that? Yeah, well done. You're bright. Anybody else? Now you're all going to see it. Yeah. I should have asked you beforehand. Well, of course, they had to come to him, Vic. He was under house arrest. And it's just not right what you're saying. The Great Commission, we're told to go out. We're told to go and do it. Make disciples of everybody. Amen. And I agree with that. But this, in this instance, for these people with this condition, Paul used this method, this model. A specific model for evangelism and discipleship that Paul uses at this time. That's what I see, a specific model. People with those conditions pray into their lives. Eyes open, ears open, hearts softened. Pray it and pray it and pray it and pray it and speak it out till they come to you. And then whack them with the gospel. Sorry. Preach the kingdom and teach about Jesus. But that's the gospel. come to you now. I've had a lot of things taken out of context. Surprise, surprise. When I've preached. Am I telling you to stop going out there and evangelizing and speaking to strangers and preaching the kingdom and teaching about Jesus? The answer is no. Well done. But this to me seems a specific model for a specific purpose. Carol, it fits perfectly into your situation with that woman. She's got her eyes shut. She's not interested. She needs to have her eyes opened to what Jesus has done. You've preached the word to her. You've given a testimony. She just can't see it. Perfect example, I think, for this situation. See, my personal experience is, in most situations, a person understands more, gets more, takes in more of a conversation when they come and initiate it and ask you, when they are ready. This is not to stop you sitting next to somebody on a bus or a train and preaching your little heart out. I'm not against that. But for some people in certain situations, they need to come to you. They went to Paul. When they were ready, they went to Paul. See, some folks would prefer to be in a place, it's almost like where they're in control to a certain extent, and they're initiating the conversation, and they don't feel put upon, dare I say, they don't feel preached at. And when they're ready, when their eyes have been opened, when their hearts have been opened, ears have been opened, when their hearts have been softened enough to get that seed in, and when they come to you, man, that's when you preach them and tell them about Jesus and tell them about your testimony, and they'll be able to see it and they'll be able to hear it. That's what I think is happening with Paul. Preach the kingdom. Teach about Jesus. Seeing, hearing, and understanding. I had a bit of a revelation yesterday morning. And I was thinking about the message. And I was pondering about the seeing part. Because a lot of this seeing is about understanding and perceiving. It's not actually about physically seeing. And I was thinking that's what this was. But then the Lord said, no, no, no. It's about actually physically seeing as well. And he put John 20, 30, 31 into my mind. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Signs and wonders and miracles are a signpost to Jesus. So we need to be doing that so that people can see it. But we need to be praying so that their eyes are opened so that they can see it. Like I said, I have a couple of people at work I know that have been prayed, that I've put my hands on them and healed them instantly. Miraculous. They've been part of it and they've just not seen it. Signs and wonders are a signpost to Jesus. You see, God could open the skies today and write in the clouds, I am here. But folk wouldn't see it. Folk wouldn't see it. Oh, that's nonsense, Vic. God spoke audibly at the baptism of Jesus and folk went, oh, that was thunder. Did you hear that thunder? No, that was God speaking. So God could write, I am here, up in the sky, and folk wouldn't see it. It would be wonderful for us to see it. Awesome. But folk wouldn't see it. They've got to have their eyes open. So we need to be doing the signs and the wonders. But to go along with that, we need to be praying that prayer, I believe, of let their eyes be opened. How many folk do you know who have seen miracles and they still don't believe? I was telling Nancy, I was reading an article with some philosopher. It was an ongoing debate in The Guardian about miracles. And this philosopher had written a book. It was actually in reply to C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote a book about miracles. So this guy wrote a book refuting that. And it was a great long proof. But the first page says, miracles can't happen. And then he took his proof from that. His proof derived from, he would not see it. He'd shut his eyes. So you can take folk and show them miracles. You can tell them about miracles. I mean, I've used the Andrew Womack one about his son being dead. I've told loads of people that. Oh no, it was a misdiagnosis, just wasn't dead. He was dead for 5 hours. Nah, the doctors just got it wrong. Well, he started to turn blue. No, the doctors just got it wrong. Yeah, they just don't see it. They need to have their eyes open. How many people do you know look up into the sky? We stopped coming back from Dumfries last week on the Dava Moor, pitch black, little tinge of northern lights, meteor shower. Folk look up at that and go, oh, isn't evolution and the Big Bang awesome? Because they've got their eyes shut. I wanted to tell you this morning about a snail and a worm, but Nancy said, no, don't. Creation. Shh, creation. You're not going to tell that story, are you? Creation is awesome. Wonderful. It screams out that there's a God. Big Bang evolution. Until folk get their eyes open, choose to open their eyes, no matter how many wonderful stories of creation that we tell them about snails and worms, they're just never going to get it. You've got to have their eyes open. Because they choose at the moment to shut their eyes. There's one lad at work, it used to frustrate me so much because he was healed. Somebody else in his family was healed. I've been speaking to him for years. He's even said to me, I want what you've got, Vic. But when I told him what it was, he didn't want that. It used to frustrate me so much and annoy me, I've got to say. Until this week, over the last wee while, I've just come to accept that. Almost become passive. Well, if he's just not going to take it, he's just not going to take it. I'll just keep preaching to him. No. See, after this revelation, here we're getting prayed that his eyes are open, and that his ears are open, and that his heart is softened. Guys, if you know folk like that, we've now got a prayer to pray. We've now got words to speak out. We've got words of power to speak out now. We've got a new covenant model of prayer that we can speak out over these people in our lives. And you've all got them. I'm sure you have. Non-believers, believers. Oh, this is powerful. See, if we start using this prayer, I am 100% certain we are going to start seeing people converted and healed. Because that's what the word says. That's what's stopping them. The converted and healed is a really important part here. They didn't get that. They didn't get converted. They didn't get healed because their eyes were shut, their ears were shut, and their hearts was wax gross. If we start praying against shut eyes, shut ears, gross waxed hearts, I had to think about that, we'll start seeing results. How many of you are frustrated to the point of, ah, because they just don't get it, and I don't know what to do about it? Paul knew what to do about it. Was Paul successful? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's exciting. So what are you telling us for this passage then, Vic? I'm saying, go and preach and teach. But I'm also saying, pray this prayer and then wait for people to come to you and then preach and teach. I'm saying do both. Because you see, Nancy that pointed it out to me, Paul did both. Paul was the greatest exponent ever of going out and preaching and teaching. He arrived at Ephesus, he went and preached and he taught. He went to another city, he went and preached and he taught. So he didn't go into that city and pray against closed eyes. He didn't always go in and pray, open their eyes, open their ears, get their wax hearts unwaxed. He did the going out, greatest exponent ever. After his time of preparation in the desert, after his conversion experience, he was unstoppable. Shipwrecks, prisons, death. Couldn't stop that guy going out and preaching the gospel and teaching about Jesus. So I'm not telling you to stop doing that. But we do see Paul in this part of his life, for this certain section of society, certain type of people, praying the prayer and then waiting for them to come to him. Awesome. We've got a model prayer there, guys, for people who don't see, don't hear, and who don't get it. Kind of. So you need to be out there preaching and teaching in the first place to know that they don't get it. That's good. Yeah, so you need to do both. You need to be out there preaching and teaching. And then you need to be praying that prayer and waiting for maybe an individual or two people to come to you. Guys, think about someone right now. You all got one. Start praying for them. Open their eyes. I've got one. Open that at two. Gonna have them both. Good for you. Try it. It's biblical. So what am I saying? Yeah, I'm saying keep preaching the kingdom. Keep teaching about Jesus. Whatever else you do. This is the Great Commission. It's obvious. Please, please, please don't let me hear anyone saying, oh, well, Vic only told us to preach to people that came to us. You have been warned. I'm saying do it. But I'm also saying, once you hit this block that, like, Paul hit, they don't see it. They don't hear. They're not seeing what I'm seeing. They're not hearing what I'm saying. They're just not understanding. Then pray that prayer. Open their eyes, open their ears, soften their heart, pray for understanding. And then once they come, convert them and heal them. That's awesome, isn't it? Good model for a good new covenant prayer. Model for people who we know have closed their eyes. That's what Paul came up against shut in Rome. They'd shut their eyes to Jesus. So much other stuff. Rome was the center of the known universe at that time, and they knew it. It's a bit like Elgin. Think they're the center of the universe. According to Nancy. There was so much more going on at Rome. And people had shut their eyes to Jesus. It's just the same today. There's so much more. Exciting. And bright. And spangly things. Compared to sitting reading your Bible and spending time with Jesus. The folk have got their eyes shut to Jesus. They've got their eyes open to this other worldly stuff. So, like Paul did in Rome 2,000 years ago, this prayer is suitable for the people of Mary. Open Let them open their eyes. I speak out that they'll open their eyes. I just speak out that they'll be encouraged to look to Jesus. I just speak out people will go across their path that will help them open their eyes to Jesus. I just pray that they'll hear what Holy Spirit is saying to them. I just pray that they'll understand what people are saying to them when their ears are open. And I just pray for that heart to soften, for them to become more in tune with Jesus, to turn towards him, to get that hardness pulled away so that when the truths come in, it'll go deep into their hearts. See, any combination thereof, of those kind of prayers, is a fantastic new covenant prayer. Lord, come and save my friend. Rubbish new covenant prayer. Rubbish. I've prayed it before. Jesus has come. Holy Spirit has come. New covenant prayer, open their eyes to all this goodness. If it's a believer, open their eyes to all the goodness that they've already got. Not, Lord, give them more. Lord, let them open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to understand for what they've already got. It's a wonderful new covenant prayer. Great model for today. Read the end of Acts 28. See what Paul says. And, well, there's a prayer I'm going to start using. And I would suggest that it would be good for you guys to start using that too. You've all got that person in your head now. Hallelujah. We've got a lot of empty seats for these people that you've now got in your heads. When you pray that their eyes are opened, their ears are opened, and their hearts are softened, there's loads of space for them to come in here and be converted and healed. Hallelujah. Nancy, can you lead us in worship again? We'll take communion. Awesome.